There is power, power in that wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. We got one praise the Lord. There's power, power in that wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is power in that wonderful name. You know, last week I preached on fasting, and I asked that everybody would fast at least one meal. One meal. Don't raise your hand now. How many did that this week between you and God? Amen. No, you don't raise your hands. Amen. It's between you and the Lord. I'm serious about God's power in this church. I'm serious about it. There's people sitting in here and outside these walls that God would desire to move in a supernatural way. Amen. To do restoration, to do healing, to bring salvation to their soul, and much, much more. And he's looking for churches. And I believe many of the churches in this last day are going to be the remnant churches. The ones that are preaching the word of God. How many in here are planning on going to see the shack? Praise the Lord, I don't see any hands. How many read the book, The Shack? It's a bad book. I can give you 13 heresies in that movie, in that book, that are contrary to the scripture, and it's a very deceptive book. It's a very deceptive movie that is destroying many people's lives. And it's sad to say there's over 1,000 evangelical pastors that are signing off on it, okaying it, and even bringing cases of those books to their church to hand out to their people. Now, if you read it, that's fine. I mean, you can read something. That's okay. Sometimes you get education. But I tell you what, the enemy is on the move, as well as I know this powerful God that we serve is on the move too. And deception is going to increase more and more and more. It's time that we are really serious. We're moving in. Whether you believe it or not, we're moving into the coming of our Lord right now. I believe Jesus is coming soon. The world is not getting better, people, believe me. Jesus said it wasn't going to get better. He said it's going to get worse and worse as we get closer to the kingdom of God. And we're watching that happening. And there's many more things coming out, not just the shack, but many other things too that are going to deceive people. But it amazes me how many evangelical Christians are thinking this is, you can read it on social media. They're just enthroned with this thing about how wonderful it is. And there's even comments going around that it's better than the Bible. And I'm just telling you straightforward whether you like it or not. I know some people may get upset about it, but I'm going to always tell you the truth. That book is heresy. That movie is heresy. And if I read it, I would read it only to educate myself to know how to counteract some of the thoughts. But people think more of that than they do this right here. And that God in that movie, in that book, is not the God of this Bible, the triune God. It's not. And we need to be careful of that. I just may bring it and cover those 13 heresies to let you know. Because it's vitally important that we stay true to God. Because the Bible says in the last day, if possible, even the very elect are going to be deceived. And it's sad today in this church culture that we have around the world today, in the churches that are high in entertainment, those are the ones that are really into this book and this movie too. We need to be very aware of what's going on. So I just want to throw that out. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart to give you a heart of discernment to know when you read this book that it is not from God. It is not from the Holy Ghost. It is not from Jesus. Jesus is not the character that's in that book. God the Father is not, well, he's not even a he in that book. And the Holy Spirit isn't who is in that book or in that movie. It's a fiction, I understand that, but it's a fiction book that is destroying lives and deceiving multitudes of people who are angry, even at people who will say, I'm going to stay with the Bible. And it brings division within the body even, this type of deception. So you need to be aware of that, people, and I wanted to step up and warn you that deception's out there. And the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. Oh, it all looks so wonderful. Oh, I feel so much better now. All my broken heart is healed and all things in life are so great. It's an angel of light if it doesn't compare with the light of the world, Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. When I got problems, I run to this book. When I got problems, I run to Jesus. I don't run to the shack. I got a mansion in heaven, not a shack. That's not my sermon, even though I'm kind of almost wanting to go on. But I feel strongly in my spirit that the people in here have been struggling with physical things in their bodies, been struggling with things in their homes, been struggling with things in their jobs. We need the power of God.
Amen.
We need the power of God. And it's a warfare, people. I've said it many times before. This is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship that we're in. There's a warfare going on. Scripture teaches that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but a spiritual thing, unseen things that are coming against our lives, and we need to warfare, but we need the Word of God to be able to do that. And that's why I asked for a fast, and I'll ask for a fast again. Because fasting is part of the warfare of prayer that you and I need in order to warfare the enemy of our souls. See, what's scary to me is that I would hope not even some people in here will not make it to heaven. That's how dangerous it is and how we need to take the things of God seriously, because Jesus warned against it. He warned against it. Eternal security. I believe in eternal security as long as you're sticking close to Jesus. But I have a will where I can cast away and shipwreck my faith, scriptures teach. Jesus will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. But you will Jesus. I'm not saying you specifically, in general, the church. Christians can forsake the same will that they did to receive God's invitation into their life are the same ones who will push him away. And there's many that have done that. You can read of a couple of right in Scripture. And we need to beware to guard our hearts from everything that's happening. And I tell you what, that's why this church isn't, well, we're not a big building, naturally, but that's why churches like this, and there's multitudes of remnant churches like this, and I said it before, they're not popular churches today, because we're going to preach the Word of God. And we're going to warn against stuff like the shack, TBN, CBN. I could go on with a lot of ministries that I'm aware of that are promoting this shack movie. It's unbelievable. But when you get down to it, and I appreciate brothers like Joseph Youssef, I think his first name is. I listened to his whole sermon on it and followed him through Scripture on the heresies that are in that movie and how they're pulling people away from the gospel. And it's scary. You can look it up yourself online. Just bring it up. Put in 13 heresies, Joseph Youssef, and read it for yourself. And he's using the Bible, people. He's using the Bible. And he's not making it into his own deal. It's actual heresy when you read it compared to the Scriptures. I'll get off my high horse on that one right now, but I might climb back on again. Amen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you for your presence here today. And Lord, I know that you've got a great purpose and plan for Crossfire Assembly. I know you've got a great plan for many, many thousands of churches like this one that are springing up around the country who are saying we've had enough of the junk. And Lord, they want to get back to the Word of God. And Father, we pray for each one of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are drawing closer to you in these end times, Father, that we'll be a mighty army for your glory, Lord. And I pray today that your word will touch our hearts and lives and change, convict our hearts and souls in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this past week, I asked you to fast, and I think that's vitally important. You may say, well, nothing happened to me when I fasted. Didn't say it would. Because you can't feel it anyway. You don't know what God is doing when you fast. God is the one who's doing a work. Not so we can get what we want, but so God can have his way within us and that we can get past our feelings and hear him speak to us in our lives. That's what he wants to do. And so we're going to kind of, probably every month of the day that we have prayer, I'm going to ask you that you fast a meal for that day, that day we have prayer in this church. Fast, that's all it is, one meal. That's all you have to do. Many times Scripture, they did one meal, they did one day, all the way up to 40 days. If you can do 40 days, more power to you. But be careful. Praise the Lord. I believe God is on the move.
Amen.
I believe he is on the move. You can see it in the world, and I'm excited. So this message I got this morning, this is not for the faint of heart. It's not. This is a tough church. If all you want is a blessing, this message isn't going to be for you. It's not going to be for you. This is only for those who want God to take over to consume them. How many need God to consume you?
Amen.
I'm glad to see those hands all up because I'm up with you here too. Because without it, we're finished. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verses 34, 48. Then Peter opened his mouth. Thank you, Peter. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." What a beautiful thing. There's some that may even be in here this morning that have been beaten down through life and you feel God doesn't care about me because I'm poor, I'm not smarter, I can't, whatever. And God would take somebody else before me. No, Peter just said it here. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Witnesses. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Amen.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not just the Jews. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. How many in here speak in tongues? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need to do more of that, people.
Yes.
Corporately, too.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10, 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Always come to church with expectation. Not about me. Don't say, boy, I hope our preacher gets anointed so we can get God moving in this. But no! All of us need to get going with God. We need to all come in unity of faith, believing that God is moving, because I tell you, he's alive and he's well and he's here. See, Peter did not lay hands on them. He didn't lay hands on them. Peter didn't touch them. He didn't touch the people. Peter just preached the word. That's all he did. He preached the word. And I want to draw your attention to the one word in this verse. Fell. The Holy Ghost fell while Peter was preaching the word. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. First of all, it tells me that what was happening is the work of the Holy Spirit was there. It tells me that the Holy Ghost is the initiator. The Holy Ghost is not me. The Holy Ghost is. When I preach the word of God, I trust the Holy Spirit is doing the work in his word. In me and in you, amen? See, the Holy Spirit can move and work whenever and however he wants. He doesn't need me and he doesn't need you. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. See, it doesn't say that they jumped up and grabbed him. You don't read that in there. Or they reached out and took hold of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It says that the Holy Ghost fell on the people. It fell on them. Secondly, the word fell means to embrace with an affection, or seize, to fall upon, to lie, or to press upon, to come suddenly upon, to come forcibly, to seize or take possession of. We need more people, including myself, that are so full of the Holy Ghost, we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost came in undeniable, indisputable manner. It was tangible, and it was heavy. It was a manifestation of the power of God. They were visibly and physically affected, the people were. They felt it, and anyone present could see the effects of the Spirit upon them. You'll find in Scripture other places where the power of God fell also. It says in Leviticus 9:24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. They didn't walk around and say, high five, hey, bud, big daddy in the sky. They didn't do any of that because they reverenced this mighty, powerful God and they fell upon their faces. Oh, he's a loving God, but we still reverence this mighty loving God. Because you know something, people, if God showed up in his fullness right now, in all of his love, most of you wouldn't even be able to sit in your chairs. So don't tell me not preaching God's love. You couldn't handle all of it until we get in our spirit bodies. Then the Holy Ghost is going to come and hug on you. And you can receive, you can get all God's love. But right now, we couldn't handle it. But I tell you, you reverence this God because he's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. 1 Chronicles 21:6 says, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. God answered him by fire. And people, this was fire not kindled here on earth. It wasn't kindled here. God sent that fire from heaven. These were also undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visible, tangible manifestations of the power of God. Then the one that really stands out was with Elijah squared off with Ahab and the false prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. Remember that story? The false prophets and the true prophet, the man of God, Elijah, came to an agreement. They would both build an altar and offer a sacrifice, but put no fire under it. And they would call on their respective gods, and the God that answered by fire, he would be recognized as the one true God. The story goes on that the false prophet built their altar and laid the sacrifice on the altar and called upon Baal from morning till noon with no answer. See, that's what happens when you serve a false god. That's why people worshiping Muhammad or Allah, whoever you want to call him, they get no answers. There's no miracles registered. There's no supernatural acts registered by false gods, but there is by a living God. Amen. Elijah began to mock them. Then they became violent and went into a frenzy and began to jump on the altar and cut themselves with knives and lancets until blood gushed out upon. That's what happens when people get tied up in falsehoods, in false gods, in the wrong thing. They become crazy when they don't have an answer. They can't figure it out. They continued from noon till the evening sacrifice, cutting themselves and then Elijah took over. The man of God took over. A man of God took over. This man of God was excited. He wasn't ashamed. He was excited. He was excited. He mocked the god Baal. He said, I can't wait till it's my turn. Because my God's a living God. Whew. Listen to this. See, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He put the wood in order, and he put the sacrifice on the wood. Then he had them pour 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. Then he prayed a short prayer. That's a lot of water. Ever try to build a campfire by pouring water on the wood and then trying to light it? Ain't going to work. Listen to this in 1 Kings 18, 38-39. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood. And by the way, if any of you started a fire, especially if you're raised on a farm, we did a lot of burning out there. Well, it was fun. And we put rocks around it. How many in here can say, we even burn up the rocks? You never burn any rocks up. It wasn't a rock. But listen to God here. And consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And we need more people today in the church saying, the Lord, he is the God. Jesus, he is the God. Jesus, he is the God, because he's here today. He's the one to consume the sin out of our lives by the precious blood of the Lamb. He's the one. See, the fact is what happened up on that mount was so powerful and so undeniable that it turned the nation back to God. And God knows that we need the church to turn back to him. Amen. We need it, people. The world's even mocking us today. They're mocking us so much they're coming in and sitting with us because they're being entertained. And we need the God. We need this God that is a consuming fire God to consume the sin out of our lives and the things that we need to get right with him. Amen? See, they experience a visible, tangible manifestation of God. We need that today. We need God. He's here. He can do it. It's not God that we're stopping. We're resisting it ourselves. And you can say, not me, I want it all. Do we? Do we really, really, supernaturally, really want everything God's got for us? How committed are we? How committed are we? When we know that fasting is part of God's plan, and then we don't do it because we don't want to. But yet we come to church and say, why doesn't God ever move in our midst? Hey, am I being point blank honest? See, I got to stand before this God one day as a preacher. I get the greater judgment. So I know that I have to stand before him, and I got to give account for everything I'm telling you here and have told you in the past. I'm praying I'm doing it right. I don't know about you people, but I love it when a preacher tells the truth. And I've sat under a lot of preachers that told it the truth, and I thank God for them. Some people get mad at them, but I tell you what, I get glad at them. Amen. I've had my toes scuffed on sometimes too, but the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you got to get it right, pal. Yes. He didn't say it that way. I said, pal. The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. See, they had a God encounter. Then we go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the fire of God fell on David's altar and burnt offering. The fire of God fell on Solomon's offering and sacrifices. The Holy Ghost fire of God, the power of God fell at Mount Carmel. The Holy Ghost fire fell on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fire fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. In every case, Old and New Testament, it was visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God's encounter. What really concerns me today is we are raising a generation of Christians who have never had a God encounter. They've never had a true God encounter. I've had true God encounters in my young Christian life as I was serving the Lord, and my wife, now we sat in there where the power of God was manifesting within a congregation, and the whole congregation was being affected by the power of God. There was repentance going on within that church. There was eyes filled with tears for the sin that the people were living in, and now they're repenting. There was people who began to love on people they hated or are bickering with or criticizing, and now they were coming up and saying, forgive me. The Holy Ghost was doing a manifestation and moving through the people. And you could feel Him so strong, and you fell in love just being within that congregation. You were falling in love with God because the Holy Ghost showed up in a powerful way, a manifestation. We need that today, people. We don't understand that we can lead our young people the wrong way. We can get them all excited with the tangible worldly things in this world. But I tell you what, we need to let our young people know that there's a God. He's a powerful, living God. And I tell you what, should Jesus tarry and our young people get to a point in life, whether they start out in school, kindergarten school, all the way up into college and their jobs, they are going to face trials and tribulation that is going to rock their faith. It's going to shake them to their core, because that's what happened to us as we grow in the Lord ourselves. The older you get, the greater the trials get, and we need the power of God. We don't need to be entertained. We're raising a generation of Christians. They've never experienced a tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. They know God in theory. And they know God religiously, they know God mentally and intellectually, they know about God, but they have never had a Mount Carmel day or a day of Pentecost, nor a House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God. They've never experienced those things. They have never had a burning bush experience. They've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost seizing them and taking possession of them. They have never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hands and their feet. They've never experienced that. I've watched that happen when I was in my early 20s, when other young guys were getting saved in our church, and it was a small church like this, and God was bringing young people and were hungry for God, and they stand up there. One guy, Stu, I can remember his name, and that's all I'll say, but his name was Stu. And he went from a dirty, filthy sinner to a guy as the Holy Ghost manifested upon him. And he got involved in choir, and a small choir just like we got here. And he stood up there. And that guy every single Sunday could hardly sing because the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost. His hands were raised to God as he sung. And it affected the people around him also. We need the Holy Ghost people. Luke 24, 32 says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture?" You know the best kind of heartburn you can have? Huh? Christian heartburn. That's what you need when you hear the Word of God. You need to hear people preach and teach and witness the Word of God. And I tell you what, their hearts will burn as the Holy Ghost is doing a work within them. We need that type of a Christian heartburn. Remember Jeremiah 29? "Then I said, I will not make mention of him." Remember Jeremiah was so discouraged, all the hassle he was taking and everything, and the threats and all this type of thing going on in his life. He said, "Nor speak any more in his name, but his word, his word, his word, his word, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, and I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stay." He had to preach the Word of God because his heart was burning on fire from heaven. The Holy Ghost was burning in him. And we need to have that to show our people today. We need that. Can you see why this church isn't popular today? Huh? God didn't call me to itch anybody's ears. He didn't call me to do that. Time is short. We need Jesus. Too many people in this generation today, the fire of God is just a concept. It's just an idea. But I'm here this morning, people. I'm here this morning to tell you the fire of God is not just a concept or an idea or a theory or a philosophy to be studied. It's not. It's not the figment of an active imagination either. It's not. It's real. The fire of God is the mighty Holy Ghost. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God, and he is the might and the power of God. He is the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel, the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, the same fire that fell in Cornelius' house. The fire of God is real. The fire of God is tangible. The fire of God is alive. The fire of God is contagious. The fire of God is the power of God. The power of God is the only power that can heal. See, doctors can pull out the disease out of our bodies, but they can't heal us. Only God can heal us. Doctors can administer radiation and chemo, but even the body suffers from their harmful side effects, but only Jesus can heal. But the fire of God can burn cancer out of your body and never leave a trace or a scar and no harmful side effect. That's what the power of God can do. The fire of God can burn drugs out of your system and take the desire all at the same time. The fire of God can restore missing body parts. The fire of God can deliver from alcohol, pornography, and lust and perversion. The fire of God will burn up jealousy and pride and criticism and forgiveness. The unforgiveness, the fire of God will heal your broken heart. It will restore joy and peace in your life. The fire of God will heal your marriage. The fire of God will heal your mind. My prayer today, and God can do it again. Let the fire fall. Yes. Let the fire fall. The same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost and the same fire that fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. Let the fire of God fall with that Crossfire Assembly. Let it fall. And it may happen in a time when you least expect it. The fire of God may fall in your life personally. Maybe you're sitting there and all of a sudden something's happening and changing with you and in you. It's the fire of God. Maybe God will go to the next person. He's not a respecter of persons. Maybe he'll do the whole body at one time. But the power of God can fall. See, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let the fire fall. Let it fall on us. Come suddenly. Come forcibly. Come powerfully and rush in on us. That's my prayer. I'm praying out loud. Seize us. Take possession of us. We're not satisfied just to read about it and sing about it. We want to experience it for ourselves. I don't know. I'm hungry and thirsty for it. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued. That means clothed and put on with the power from on high. The Holy Ghost. See, the power is not a theory or a concept again. This power here means dunamis. The Greek dunamis. It's miraculous power. It's a power, people, literally that reproduces itself. That's how powerful it is. It's the same power that caused the sun and the moon to stand still. It's the same power that divided the Red Sea and caused water to flow out of a rock like a river. That's the power. It's the same power that I've watched in people's lives where God has taken a drug addict and sobered him up within a moment's of time. It's that power. I've stood in front of drunkards who are totally stone drunk that could hardly stand, throwing out threatenings. And God sobered them up within a moment and they were standing there praising God in their sober mind. That's the power of God. It's the same power that made the Hebrew children fireproof. That gave Daniel's lions lockjaw. It's that power I'm talking about. And it's here today.
Yes.
You got to want it. You got to want to want to want to want it. Otherwise, we're just going to keep on keeping on playing church. And saying, hoo-hoo, boo-hoo. When we have a mighty God here that lives within us through the Holy Ghost. See, it's the same power that shook Paul and Silas' prison off its foundations. It's the same power that was upon Jesus that opened the blind eye, unstopped the deaf ears, made the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I've watched demon-possessed people literally with their heads rolled back, their eyes rolled back in their head, totally delivered from a demon within moments, praising God, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God. It's the same fire, this same anointing, the same power that God wants to send on your life right now. He fell on all them that heard the word. He wants to fall on every person that's hearing the word here this morning. Did you know that?
Yes.
He wants to. The word made a way for the fire. God is wanting to fall on your life with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. That means intense desire. After righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 7:7, ask, and ask means implies want, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And sometimes the answer may not be forthcoming immediately, people. Therefore, we should seek to know the reason why, and then make sure this is the Lord's door also, and at which we are knocking on. And if it is his door, that door will open. It will open. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know about you, but I want God to show me mighty things, great and mighty things. And he has already, but I want to see more and more. See, God is a creator God. He's a God of power. And he's the God of manifestation. He can manifest himself through here. It's amazing how people want to see the manifestation of evil. But I tell you what, I want to see the manifestation of a God who loves and cares, created us in his image and wants us to live with him through all eternity. That's the God I want to see move in my life, in your life. Amen.
Amen.
You see, isn't that guy done yet? I'm getting close. I'm getting close. Pretty soon here. Pretty soon. See, hunger will draw the anointing. I've seen people that have hungered and thirsted and cried out to God, and God moved in their lives in a supernatural way. It takes hunger and thirst. Hunger will open the door for the manifestation of the power of God. Am I talking to anyone who wants the reality of the tangible manifestation of the anointing of the power of God this morning? I see some hands already. Is there just a speck of hunger starting to grow in you? And I'm talking to anybody who is not satisfied with religion and tradition, not satisfied with concepts and theories and philosophies. Am I talking to anyone who wants the power of Pentecost in your life?
Amen.
The great apostle of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, said every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. We need more live wires. And if you're in here this morning, you're an electrician, you ought to shout at amen. We need live wires in here that are full of the Holy Ghost. See, I believe there are some hungry and thirsty people listening to me right now who refuse to be satisfied or pacified with anything less than the personal encounter with the true fire of God. Somebody's going to catch on fire this morning. You may be sitting in a restaurant, and this fire may come upon you in a restaurant. The Holy Ghost may manifest upon you, and you may begin to weep. You may begin to shout. God may send somebody over to sit down next to you that needs to be saved. And God will put a fire in your heart. I sat down in Springfield, Missouri one day with a couple of businessmen, and I started to preach the Word of God to them because I just got back from Russia, and I was on fire. And I shared the gospel. And the guy said to the other guy, he said, "Isn't your heart on fire?" It wasn't me. I was giving him the Word of God, and their hearts were getting on fire.
Amen.
Somebody's going to get hit by the power of God this morning. The power of God is going to seize your life, take hold on your life, and set your life on fire. Our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
He's a consuming fire. God's holiness is the reason for his being a consuming fire, and he burns up anything that's unholy. He will burn it up. And there is a consuming anointing in this place right now. I believe that. Just as the fire of God fell at Mount Carmel and consumed everything, the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dirt, and the water in the trench, so also is the consuming fire of God falling on your life, my life. My prayer is, consume us, Lord. Burn up the dead religion. Burn up the sin, the carnality in my life. Burn up the dead traditions. Burn up everything that is not of you and set us on fire as a church. And that's what I see happening in this church. We're leaning on past experiences. We are leaning on what we already know and what we've learned from the Bible. We are leaning on the move of the Spirit that we had 6 months ago or 10 years ago. We are leaning on our own spirituality and our own good works. But where is that fresh fire? We need fresh fire. Where is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire? We sing that it's the Holy Ghost and the fire, and it keeps keeping me alive. And that's what we must have. But where is that Holy Ghost fire today? I'm beginning to believe that it's not much more than a smoldering ember because we've allowed it to be smothered out with pride and self-sufficiency, people. Listen to David here. We have become stubborn and self-sufficient, just like David. It says in 2 Samuel 24:15, "So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel, the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men." 70,000 lost their lives because of one disobedient king who is supposed to be a man after God's own heart. And what's happening today? We've got disobedient pastors, evangelists, missionaries, lay people in the churches that are disobedient to God, and people are dying and going to an eternal hell because we're disobedient. It's the truth. It's the truth. And God's heart hurts, I believe, because of it. 70,000 people. Do you understand what they're saying to the church right now? Every day that we live in a stage of lethargy and complacency and self-sufficiency and don't have that fire of the Holy Ghost operating in us, there are souls that are dying and going to hell. You should be out there. I should be out there every day when we're around people. Lord, is this an opportunity to share the gospel? And believe me, when you ask God, they're there. He'll bring them right in front of you or you in front of them. It happens every time. How many people have lost that? We could have reached it if we weren't so complacent. How many souls will burn forever because I didn't open my mouth and speak to them about Jesus? How many of your family aren't saved but have never heard you witness to them? How many of your friends and coworkers don't know Jesus and they don't even know you're a Christian? Can you see it? Can you see that our pride is being saved ourselves and our self-sufficiency and our own salvation? And our own walk with the Lord has allowed us to sit idly by and watch souls by the thousands leave this world without Jesus? Yes, the God we serve still answers by fire. Wherever there is an altar, wherever there is a sacrifice, wherever there is a prevailing prayer, wherever there are hungry hearts, wherever there is a desperation for Him, the God who answers by fire is here right now. He is here to save you and to heal you, to deliver you. Let's all stand, please. He's here to restore your marriage, to heal your broken heart. He's here to revive you. He's here to resurrect you. Put His fire back in you. He's here to give you a fresh anointing, to set your heart and your life on fire. Come on all over this house. I want you to come up front. I want you to come up and let's unify as a church and say, I want the fire of God. Come on, be the first. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your pride. Don't worry about the things. I don't care about what you think of me, respectfully telling you. I only care about the fire of God. And people, we need some fire in this place. We need some fresh anointing in this place. We need to set our hearts and our life on fire. And it needs to happen within this house. And we need it to fall on us this morning. We need it, people. We need it, people. I want you to cry out and just say with me, I'm going to pray, Lord, because my hand's already up. My hands are up here, and I need the fire of God. You need the fire of God. There's people in here this morning that are fighting diseases. They're fighting sicknesses. Larry's wife, Darlene, home with the flu. Elderly lady needs a touch of God this morning. Larry needs a touch of God this morning. Les needs a touch of God. Les needs the fire of God to give him strength. There's people here that need a touch of God. There's young people here right now that have got situations that need the fire of God in their life. There's people with financial problems here this morning that need the fire of God. There's people in here that are dry in their spirits that need the fire of the Holy Ghost. They need a fresh anointing. They need a fire to consume their hearts and their lives. Lord, we need to be an army, Lord. We ask for your fresh fire to move upon us as a people, as of your people, Lord. And Lord, some may say, oh, we're just a few people. A few people can set the world on fire. The 12 disciples that you called set the world on fire because they had the fire of your Holy Spirit within them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even if those that come up coldness, Lord, put a new fire in their spirit. Help them not to be the same. Let them leave here this week, Father, knowing that the fire of God is there. And the fire God wants to anoint them. The college students, the grade school kids, the kindergarten, the babes, they need the fire of the Holy Spirit today. And Lord, I pray that over each and every person, that there will be a Holy Ghost anointing of fire that will move upon your people, Lord. Manifest this week. Manifest this day, Lord, that they'll sense the power of God. Lord, let them begin to weep in their spirits, knowing that they need the Spirit of the living God moving upon them. Lord, move upon them. Lord, move upon them. Those that are living with any kind of sin in their life, let fresh fire burn it out of them right now. Lord, let them get a taste of the mighty God. Let them taste you, the mighty God, the holy God, the God, the loving God. Let them taste your goodness and your mercy. You've got so much, Lord, for us, and we're missing it on this side of heaven. We don't have to wait for heaven. We can have your fire here. We can have it in our homes. We can have it in our jobs. We can have it in our schools. We can have it in our work. We can have the fire of God. Lord, I pray the fire of the Holy Spirit anoint each person, Lord. Let put a hunger and a thirst in our lives, dear God. Let us cry out daily, Lord. Let us cry out daily, Father, for your Holy Ghost power, Father. Put that dominus power, Lord, upon your people, Father. Let us not rest lest we be seeking you, Lord, knocking on doors, Lord. Where can I speak the gospel? Where can I live the gospel out? Put a fire, Lord. Time is short, Jesus. I believe time is short. And I believe there's souls that need to be saved. There's brothers, there's sisters, there's uncles, there's aunts, there's grandpas, there's grandmas, there's moms, there's dads, there's neighbors, there's co-workers, there's cousins, there's second cousins, there's third cousins, Lord, that need to hear Jesus. And we got Jesus in us. We need to share Jesus, but we need the fire of the Holy Spirit to move through us, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shondoroko yanda da kele de yanda. Shondorolo la ki yanda da kele yande. Unda da da ki li yanda da koda le yando. Shondoroko da da ki yala la da ke yande. Unda da da ka la le yande da kele de yande. Shodoroko yada da ki yanda da kele yande. Lord, let your fire fall. Let it fall on us, Father. Let it fall on us, Father. Let it fall on us, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your word, Father. Lord, we want to right now thank you as a body in advance for what you've done, Lord. We praise you for everything you've done. Lord, we thank you for everything that you are doing right now. And Lord, we thank you for everything you're going to do in the lives that are presented here today. Lord, we're looking for the fire. We're looking for fresh fire, Father. Lord, I pray right now every home represented here will experience fire in their homes this week, this day, this week, this month, this year, should Jesus tarry. Let us come back each Sunday, Lord, with expectation, watching the fire of God fall. And Lord, I pray you touch every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every aspect. Lord, we take authority and rebuke the enemy that would come along and lie, say, oh, the guy's just hyped up. He's just full of hype. I'm not hyped, Lord. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of your word, Father. And Lord, I want it to manifest in homes, Lord. The enemy's a liar. The enemy does not want us to have fresh fire. The enemy wants us full of lethargic, complacent, apathetic Christian attitudes. But Lord, let us be radical for you. Let us be on fire for you. And I pray that over every home, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Glory. Oh, da la 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 kiyande. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And you sent your word to guide us, Lord God, and to lead us into a house, Lord God, and to reach out to the lost of my God.
Lord. start off.
Hold on to the clutches of Satan.
How many in here this morning need a healing touch in your body, strength in your body? Put your hand way up right now. You're reaching to heaven. Put both of them up there and reach to heaven. And so, Lord, send the fire right now, the fire of your healing power. By faith, tell the Lord, I walk by faith right now in healing. I walk in healing because of Jesus, because of the fire and the power that is within Jesus. I receive it into my own self right now. I walk in strength, supernatural healing. Lord, just do a work in me. You see the hands, Lord. You're doing the work, Father. We praise you, Father. Lord, restore marriages.
Yes, yes, Lord.
The devil's a liar. We take authority over lying spirits over homes today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Glory to God. Give somebody a Holy Ghost handshake and tell them you love them and tell them you got the fire of Jesus in your heart right now as you go to your homes or go fellowship and whatever you're going to do. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Fellowship. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Andaraki andarakeleyando. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew.
For your name, stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir
in our hearts, Lord, a passion for your name. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall on this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Oh, Spirit of God, fall on this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Must be more. Oh, there must be more. There must be more. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. A passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. A passion for your name, oh. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. A passion for your name. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall on this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall on this place. Lord, have your way.